Today, we've got representatives from Amazon Canada and Mexico who are going to talk all about the remote fulfillment with FBA program, where just in three clicks, you can instantly be selling your products in Canada, Mexico, and now Brazil. How cool is that? Pretty cool, I think. Want to enter in an Amazon keyword and then within seconds get up to thousands of potentially related keywords that you could research? Then you need Magnet by Helium 10. For more information, go to h10.me/magnet. Magnet works in most Amazon marketplaces, including USA, Mexico, Australia, Germany, UK, India, and much more. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Serious Sellers Podcast by Helium 10. I'm your host, Bradley Sutton, and this is the show that is a special episode because for the very first time, we have got somebody who is from Amazon Canada, also Amazon Mexico, on the show. I've had people from Amazon USA, I think Amazon Singapore, and different places, but I'm just expanding out the marketplaces here. We've got Jaisal and Iris here. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting us.
Now, right before the show, I was like, now the way you pronounce your name is Iris, and that's how I would say it, but like that just sounds like so awkward, so I'm just going to go with Iris, and she says she's not going to be offended there. And Jaisal, I couldn't even begin to exactly pronounce it, but so I'm going to start with Jaisal. What is the origin of your name, first of all?
Yeah, of course. So my name is actually originated from a town in India called Rajasthan, and there was a princess back in the day whose name was Jaisal, and there's also a city called Jaisalmer. So that's kind of where my name came from.
See, I like knew there was a good story behind it. You know, Bradley, there's nothing going on there. You know, like Iris is, or at least the English spelling is like a flower, you know, kind of thing. So, all right, we've got, so I was already pronouncing it wrong. So it was Jaisal instead of Jaisal. I don't know why I was saying it the right way. Okay, I got it now. Now, Jaisal, where in Canada are you at right now?
So I actually live in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. Our team sits in Seattle and in Arlington. And then we also have a team out in Canada.
Okay. All right. Now, how long have you worked for Amazon?
For a little over 2 years. So it's been a really fun ride so far.
Now, have you always worked on the, Amazon Canada in different marketplaces, or did you do something else like for Amazon USA, or what's going on there?
Yeah, so the whole time I've been on Amazon Canada, I've been on the remote fulfillment expansion team for the entire time. So it's been, I've definitely gotten really used to this team and I've learned a lot from the team as well.
Now we're going to be talking, we're going to go in depth here, but just something I wanted to know. I always, you just said remote fulfillment. Now I have always referred to this as NARF, right? North, because I swear it used to be called like North American Remote Fulfillment, but now I don't see that. Those initials anywhere on Amazon. Was that an official term or is that something I made up? Or did you guys have that and then you just erased the NARF and now it's called something else?
Yes, you're right. It was called North America Remote Fulfillment. But the thing is that the moment we are now expanding to other countries, it doesn't make sense to call it North America. That's why we are only staying with remote fulfillment with FBA.
That's all. We're almost giving a spoiler alert right there about later on in the show. Now I guess so. Like I gotta start calling it something. But that was such a cool name though, NARF. You know, it's so easy to remember that. All right, let's switch to Iris now. Where are you located?
So I am in Mexico City, and I worked at the office that we have in Mexico City.
Is that where you were born and raised?
Yes, yes. I haven't been living all my life here. I went to give my tour of the world for 10 years, but came back to Mexico City. And I've been working at Amazon since 4 years now, 4 years and a half.
Let's just start into the nitty gritty. You know, the reason why I brought you on kind of like representing Amazon Canada, I want to talk about remote fulfillment. Now, in general, you know, I'm an Amazon seller in the USA. Now, me personally, I don't remember when I enrolled, but I'm already enrolled in it. But there's probably a lot of people listening to this show maybe who haven't. This might be the first time they're even hearing about remote fulfillment. So, you know what? Let me take a step back. What is remote fulfillment? Either of you can answer this.
So, remote fulfillment, it's a program that allows sellers to use their U.S. FBA inventory to expand to other countries like Mexico, Canada, and now Brazil. What we do is the inventory that you are sending to the remote fulfillment center, to the fulfillment centers in US, Amazon uses to fulfill the orders internationally once there is a sale in another country.
Cool. Now, so that's just basically in a nutshell what it is. Now, I'm a seller who's maybe hearing about this for the first time. How do I know if it's something that I should probably look into? Or maybe there's a kind of seller where it's like, nah, this is probably not for you yet.
Well, really, I think for any seller that is already selling in US via FBA, I think it's something really great to try, because you're already selling with FBA in US. You already have your products there. The only thing you need to do is enroll. Actually, I'll explain further down, but we are doing automatically enrollment for some eligible sellers. And once you're enrolled, you're basically instantly selling in other, like internationally, because it's Amazon who takes care of the rest. We are basically, once we enroll you, we are going to duplicate your ASINs or your offers. That's how we call it in Amazon, ASINs. Mm-hmm. We're going to duplicate your offers and products to the other countries. And you will be offering those products to new clients, and you will have more opportunities to sell, right? So I think it's very easy. You don't really need to worry about sending inventory to other places. You don't need to invest on that. And everything is taken care of by Amazon. So I think it's very easy. You don't really need to say, am I ready? I'm not ready. Because Amazon takes care of everything.
Now, Jessel, you know, for me, when I first enrolled in it, when it was called NARF, like the very first one that I made sure to get into was Canada. Would it be safe to say that probably most people are, who are selling in the U.S. probably make that one their first enrollment? And then how does somebody enroll in it these days?
Yeah, of course. So from the way to enroll standpoint, we do have that auto enrollment that Grace was talking about earlier. But also, if you want to double check to see if you are enrolled, you would go into your U.S. Seller Central side and check the inventory tab and go to remote fulfillment. And there will be, we have like a new UI as well. And there you should be able to see like which countries you have launched in. And it's literally just like a click of a button.
All right. So I'm here for those watching on YouTube. I'm going in one of my accounts where I'm pretty sure it's enrolled. Inventory and then remote fulfillment with FBA. All right. And then here it is right here. So I would hit then marketplace enrollment, right? And then there it is. All right. So then you would be able to see the three marketplaces and it says I'm enrolled. And if it wasn't enrolled, I would have just selected it here and then hit update. So everybody who's listening, if you guys are, if you guys are running on a jog right now or you're in your car, please pull over to the side of the road or just wait till you get home. But go into your Seller Central, hit the menu button on the left-hand side, go to inventory, mouse over that, and then select remote fulfillment by FBA. And literally right after there, it'll be just maybe a couple of clicks to enroll if you are not. Now, let's say somebody wasn't like me and it said not enrolled, Jessel. Like if I, from the moment right now, they click on this, is it instantaneous that they're now in the program? Does it take 24 hours? About how long would it take them to get up and running?
If you do it manually, you will go through a small flow. Like after this page, you have another flow where it will just let you know that we are duplicating your ASINs with Build International Listings tool. And once you are enrolled, it can be instantly. It may take up to 24 hours, but most of the times it's on the same day.
Excellent. Now, for me, there were some of my products that even though, as everybody just saw who saw my screen, I am fully enrolled, but some of my products that weren't activated. So, that leads me to assume that, hey, some products maybe are not eligible. I know way back in the day, like 6 years ago when I was working for, or 7 years ago when I was working for a different company, like they were doing diet pills and like nothing was available for Canada because there was like regulations about that. But just, I don't sell any diet pills and this is where I sell coffin shelves and egg trays and stuff like that. But what are the kind of products that might not be just able to qualify for this program with this click of the button?
Yeah. So for each country, they all have different importation rules. Products that are not eligible due to exportation rules will not be copied to other stores by the Build International Listings tool, also known as the Build tool. And you'll generally see like an ineligibility message through that same UI that you were showing earlier. However, there are some cases where a product is eligible for cross-border fulfillment under a different fulfillment method, such as local FBA fulfillment or seller fulfilled, but it's not eligible for the remote fulfillment with FBA. And that could generally be because there are additional documentation requirements for customs or specific shipping or packaging requirements. A good example is remote fulfillment does not export consumer goods, as those products often do need labeling in local languages. Mm-hmm. And if your product is not eligible for remote fulfillment and is not restricted for sale in the Target store, you can still send it directly to the country for sale through FBA in each country, or you could list it as a seller fulfilled offer. A good rule of thumb is, like, if you want to see a full list of restricted products per country, you can visit our remote fulfillment page and review what you can sell in the manage your listing section.
Now, I think one of the most common, I have a list of common questions that I gathered from people in our community when, you know, asking about this program. But I think that probably the number one thing that people want to understand is the shipping. So first of all, if I turn this on and it's tied to my FBA US inventory, which, by the way, I'm not not sure if I want to make sure everybody understands that. What we're talking about here, I am not sending inventory, physical inventory, to Canada warehouses or to Mexico warehouses or to Brazil warehouses. It's taking from my US inventory. So somebody sees, though, a Prime badge if they're shopping on Amazon Mexico, like they search for a coffin shelf. How would you say it? Something the ataúd right here. And it says Amazon Prime right there.
Yes. I think that's one of the main benefits of the program, is that your ASINs have a Prime badge when they are distributed by remote fulfillment. So although they might take longer, a little bit longer than the ones that are currently already in Mexico, but they are considered Prime.
That was my next question there. So they see the Prime badge. Now, what is the average shipping time that they might see? Assuming, obviously, even in America, you could have a Prime badge and it might say 10 days because the inventory is being checked in. But let's just assume that the inventory is completely checked in. You know, I've got tons of inventory. What's the average shipping time somebody in Mexico or Canada might see on my listing?
So on average to Mexico and Canada, it takes less than 7 days. That's the time that around okay. You will see.
Is that the target? I know it's completely brand new this month, but is that the target also for Brazil, or might take a little bit longer for there?
Yeah, so for Brazil, given the distance and obviously the size of the country, we are targeting now around 30 days, which is also an average for products that are coming from other countries locally in Brazil.
Excellent, excellent. Now, obviously for Mexico, it's automatically translating my listing into Spanish. For Canada, is it changing it at all to like Canadian English? Not that it's that different, but, you know, like for example, British English, you know, a diaper is called a nappy or something like that. It's still English, but it's different. Like, is there any translation happening, or like, does it translate to French for like the people in Quebec who view Amazon in French?
Yes, it'll translate to French whenever you're looking in that UI for French, for the French.
Okay, but not changing it to like a Canadian vernacular or anything like that, right? No. Okay, now, so that's my second part of my question is, all right, so Amazon is automatically translating my listing to either French or Spanish or Portuguese, I'm assuming for Brazil. Now, what if I, being a Helium 10 user, and I like might know the keyword that people are searching in Spanish, in Portuguese, and the keyword that Amazon translated might not be what I like, am I able to go in and override that translation?
Yeah, so it depends on the listing. If it already exists in the target country, just as it works in the US, you can propose changes and seller support will make the adjustment when they believe it's pertinent for the listing. However, if the listing is new in the target store and you're the first one to list it and you own the information, you'll be able to make changes as needed after localizing with the Build International Listings tool.
So then it wouldn't be editing the listing per se and like manage inventory. I would need to go to the Build International Listings to change the, you know, like I want to change a couple words in the title. That would be the tool I go into?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect, perfect. What about A+ content? How does that translation work? I don't think I've ever looked at my A+ content in my North American remote fulfillment, or I keep using the old term, remote fulfillment by FBA. Listings, I don't think I've ever even looked at how what's going on with my A+ content.
Yeah, so honestly, similar to how you do it in the US side for Canada or for the store that you're selling in, you can go exactly to where your A+ content listings would be and upload it there. It doesn't automatically translate over. You may have to tweak some things, but it'll be in the Seller Central for that respective country.
Speaking about localization, another thing I have not done is change my images. So for example, I have some infographic images, right? Where I might have some text on there. Obviously Amazon is not changing, you know, editing my images for me and changing that to English. Is it possible if I'm using the same ASIN, and it's my product, you know, I've got brand registry, you know, and everything. Can I change a certain image in the Mexican marketplace to put Spanish, you know, if I have like the features, you know, listed in one of my images and I want to change to Spanish, am I able to change that image or it's now going to overwrite that to my US listing?
It won't overwrite. So whatever you do on, like, for example, if you do it on your Canada Seller Central, your Mexico Seller Central, it's not going to override or impact anything that you do on the US Seller Central side. It'll just stay for that target country.
Giving me good stuff here. Like I was worried. I think a lot of sellers might have been worried about that one. You're telling us what we want to hear. Now, one thing I noticed too, you know, like I don't ship inventory directly to Canada, but something that's cool is I can still see the, we have some high end cool metrics here. Let me just show my screen to the listeners who can see this, but like search query performance and things like that. I can actually go to Canada and go to Mexico and see that, even though, like, again, I never registered to just for FBA in Canada or Mexico, but since I am part of this remote fulfillment, I can actually see the really cool metrics that Amazon has been giving for these different marketplaces. And then obviously, you know, if anybody's using Helium 10, you guys all have access to the same functionality for Amazon USA, Amazon Canada, Amazon Mexico, Amazon Brazil, our tools like Cerebro work and Magnet, where you can do your keyword research and things like that. So in the past, a lot of stuff that Amazon USA sellers had, you know, like they didn't have it right away for Mexico and Canada and the other marketplaces, but at least all of the main things definitely has access here. Now, where, you know, I talked about this a little bit before, but for those just joining us, at what point should I be like, hey, this is something that I need to go all in on? And then maybe I've been doing it for a while and then I'm like, you know what? I don't want to have 30 days for shipping to Brazil. I don't want to have the 8 days to Mexico or something. Maybe I should consider actually doing the whole process of taking my inventory for a certain product and shipping it to FBA in those countries.
I think that's a great point. It's really good considering at some point migrating to local FBA. Just because FBA has better seller experience, like you say, is like it has shorter shipping times, for example, and which can benefit the seller's conversion. No? But to the question when, I think it depends on multiple things. I think the minimum seller should consider is first having a stable demand of the products they want to sell, you know, to make sure the products you're going to send, they are actually going to have sales. The second one is that sellers need to have figured out the export logistics. You need to have look for the information, like what products can you send, you know, that sometimes are exportations about the materials that you can export. and like maybe having the support of a broker sometimes. And finally, also making sure that you comply with the local laws of the country you're targeting, right? Some countries ask you to have, for example, a local tax ID, which is a process you need to do in that country. Or some other countries, for example, they ask specificity about labeling products, no? So all of those things we need to think about before just like sending the inventory to the countries. But like I said, it's a good option to think about it because it will help yourselves. And also another point that I want to mention is that you don't need to decide of remote fulfillment or FBA. You can always use both. Actually, it's something that we recommend because, for example, you can use FBA for the ASINs that they have a high turnover rate or they have a stable demand. But if you want to try new ASINs, you can enroll them first in remote fulfillment so that you can try, you know, the demand, see how they work. And you can be using both programs at the same time. Also, FBA is a good option for the products, like Jason said, for the products that are not eligible in remote fulfillment. You know, like, for example, if you also sell consumables, you can try to sell consumables via FBA and the rest of your products in remote fulfillment.
Interesting. Now, Jessel, you know, one question I had was, you know, she just mentioned about like tax implications and things like that for when you're actually sending inventory there. I think that's a very top of mind topic for sellers is like, wait a minute, like anything that has to do with another country, like, all right, my product is crossing the border. Am I going to get taxed? Like, I'm doing remote fulfillment. Am I going to get a separate tax bill or do I have to clear customs for each order? Like all these questions they might have, like, which might be holding them back. But correct me if I'm wrong, but in remote fulfillment, is it true that I really don't have to worry about those things?
This is probably like one of our top five questions that we always get. So when customers buy products through remote fulfillment with FBA, the buyer is actually the importer of record and must pay any import duties, taxes, and fees. Amazon kind of simplifies the import duties process by estimating the amount that will be due and adding it to the amount the customer pays at checkout. You also do not have to present income taxes in other countries since your sale is occurring in the United States. So sellers may continue with their tax-specific obligations in the U.S. in the same way as before joining remote fulfillment.
You know, if I'm looking in, you know, Helium 10 Profits or in Seller Central where I'm downloading my financial reports and everything, the order might show that it went to, you know, Canada or something, but is everything pretty much the same as far as the numbers go? Like my shipping, my fulfillment cost is the same and there's no extra fees that that's affecting my profitability? Is it almost 100% the same?
We can talk about also the fees. I can already explain how it works. So in remote fulfillment, the products have two fees, just the same as any product in US FBA. So the first fee is remote fulfillment fee, which replaces the U.S. FBA fee. It's the same one. And we have the second fee, which is the category referral fee, which depends on the kind of product that you're selling. And that will be, it varies depending on the country where the sale is occurring. So besides these two fees, although they can be higher because, for example, in remote fulfillment, fees varies depending on the size of the product, the weight, and also the country to which you are sending the product. Although these fees may be higher, we have the tool Bill that we have mentioned. What the tool does is it adjusts the prices in the targeted countries with those fees, like including those fees in the price and any other extra cost that you might have, so that the price already includes all these additional costs and sellers will get a similar profit as they get in US.
Okay.
So yeah, to the question, what we are doing with Bill is protecting the margin of the sellers so that they have a similar profit as they get in US. And that's how we can comfortable say that you will be having like almost the same profits as you have in US.
Okay, so then is, you know, like let's say for whatever reason the currency exchange rate is fluctuating greatly day by day or week by week, is once a week or once a day, is the price maybe showing up as something like, is BIL changing my price to reflect the currency fluctuations?
Yeah, so maybe it's easier if I give an example, but for example, so what BIL is going to do is have your US price as a base. Mm-hmm. It will stay connected to the other ASINs or to your products in Canada, Mexico, and Brazil. And the moment that you do, for example, a manual adjust price in the US, it will adjust all other countries, considering the fees difference in each of those countries. And it will also consider, like you say, exchange rates for each of the countries. One point that I want to make sure is clear and that sellers know is that if sellers do a change manually to the price in the target country, for example, they go and they make a change manually in the price in Mexico, that will break the connection with the US price. So BIL will not be connected anymore. And that's something that selling partners need to be careful with. You know, like sellers can totally go and manually change prices in the targeted countries, but that will be breaking the connection. So there is a way to break to connect the sellers again, the ASINs again, sorry, through the BIL International Listings tool, which is in Global Selling. You can reconnect all your ASINs, but it's just to have this in mind, you know, like not making manual adjustments if you want to maintain the connection with your US prices.
That's super interesting. So if I never have touched it, it's going to go ahead and edit that for me. But if I mess with the price once, just like in Seller Central or something, then that breaks the connection. Now I literally have not seen this page in probably years, but I'm looking right now on my BIL International Listings page. And for example, I guess at one point I selected these things as default, but it's interesting. Like it says here for Canada, it tells me what the exchange rate is right now. And then it says for price synchronization, I can choose the list price and the sale price or list price only. So that's good to know. If I'm doing a sale in the US, that means if I have this selected, it'll go ahead and reflect as well in Canada. And then it says here, I can, for remote fulfillment with FBA, the choices I have are same as the source marketplace, adjust for fees, which is what I have. The other options, though, are same as the source marketplace, percentage above the source marketplace, or percentage below the source marketplace, or fixed amount above. So very interesting. And then I also have self-fulfilled options here. Like me, I have a lot of SKUs that I actually self-fulfill myself, and I don't know why I put $25. I guess I didn't want anybody ordering from Canada or something. I put a markup of $25 here. But interesting, like I have not been on this page at all. I had no idea about these things. So as a matter of fact, you just told me, like, I'm working on something with our product team where we can prices, and I didn't realize. So like if I'm manually editing a price, it is no longer going to go by these rules then.
Yeah, just to be clear, it's manually adjusting the price in the target country. Yeah. So if you change to the store of Mexico and then you change the price in pesos, no?
Yeah.
If you change it in US, obviously it will stay connected, and exactly that's how the tool helps to change accordingly the prices in the other countries.
Okay, all right, interesting. Now, here we're talking about all these foreign, currencies and things like that. Jessel, like if I'm trying to open this up, do I need like a Canadian bank to get my disbursements from? If I'm just an American seller, do I need a Mexican bank to be able to receive the payments, or how does that work?
Yeah. So no, actually, Amazon will manage this for you through a tool called Amazon Currency Converter for Sellers, or otherwise known as ACCS, that you can set up in Seller Central as a deposit method. That way, your funds from other countries are transferred to your assigned bank account to receive deposits in the U.S.
So good. So literally, that at that moment that we talked about earlier in the show, when I'm enrolling, that's it. Like there's not a bunch of other steps I'm going to have to, jump through. All right. We talked about the costs. We talked about you know, taxes and fees and banks and disbursements. You know, I'm sure I'm forgetting some other things, but just in my in my just thinking about this program, a couple other questions a seller might have is maybe on the customer side. You said that they're the importer of record. So just out of curiosity, you're no tax code expert or anything, but on average, is it a lot of fees that they're having to pay? Like if they're buying my coffin shelf back there for $25, that's the base price with shipping. The typical Canadian customer, though, what's their bill going to be like? Is it going to be double that? Is it just, you know, a certain percentage of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's an important aspect, but what we really want to highlight is that with the remote fulfillment program, buyer will be charged for the taxes.
The price that the customer sees, though, is it just the listed price, you know, after the currency conversion, or is Amazon automatically billing those, you know, taxes and things like that into that retail price?
Yeah. So whenever the seller's going onto Amazon.ca and they want to buy your product, they will see actually what the price point is plus the tax and the shipping fee.
Ah, so that's
it's
good.
All already calculated out. Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, like, see that's a worry. Like when I used to export to Canada and other countries, you know, off of Amazon, you know, maybe 15 years ago or 20 years ago, I would get some customers that would sometimes reject the shipments because they're like, hey, I got this crazy tax bill that I had no idea, you know, this is how much, but kind of like there's no surprises because Amazon is telling them how much it's going to cost. Oh, that's a comfort to hear.
I was just going to compliment that. For example, for Mexico, the ASIN, the price of the ASIN versus US is very similar. It will only get adjusted by the shipping fee, which is going to be added to the price. And if there is no taxes, Amazon is not going to add any extra fees. And like you say, it's really convenient. For example, for me, when I'm like, I want to buy a brand that is not available in my country and that I want to bring it. It's really nice to have, you know, like a exact date when I'm going to get it and that I don't have surprises of when the package arrives, like you say, like, oh, I am due another $50 for what I am ordering.
Okay. Good to know. What about returns? So, you know, Amazon obviously has a generous return policy. Is it kind of like the same for people who buy through remote fulfillment? I don't even know what it is. Like, you know, 30, let's just say it's 30 days. They have 30 days. Is it the same? And then what's the process? You know, like I had to return something from Amazon the other day and it's just like, all right, here, go drop it off at UPS or we'll send you a label to return. How does it work if it's a remote fulfillment product?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. From a buyer's perspective, you also have the Amazon promise that you can return items within a certain time. First, I think Mexico is 30 days. And you'll get a label, a shipping label that you can paste on your package and you'll deliver it to the same place where, or even you can also call for someone to pick it up at home. And it works exactly the same way. Amazon will take care of bringing back the product to the US. So that's, I think it's important for sellers to know. We don't bring the product to the FCs locally. We take it back to your inventory in US. So once it gets to the US, it will be re-added to your inventory.
Now, what are some educational resources that people can search for maybe in Seller Central if they want to find out more about this? How would you suggest people can learn more?
Inside Seller Central, I think there is two main resources sellers can use. One is the help page of remote fulfillment with FBA that you can search by using the search bar. You can place remote fulfillment. You will find the help page. We also have a revenue calculator that sellers can use. Also by typing revenue calculator, you will find it in the search menu. The only thing you need to make sure is that once you are in the revenue calculator, you need to choose the store where you're targeting and the store where your inventory is in. And you will see the option of like calculating fees with remote fulfillment so that you're able to compare what is the best channel for you or what will be your net profits using one channel or the other one. And finally, you always have seller support, which is a really good resource for a lot of sellers. Just like sending your question or requesting a call and they'll be able to help you.
Yeah. And also just to add on to that, as a seller, if you do have any country-specific questions, one piece of advice that I like to give is search for those questions in your seller central that is accounted for that country. So if you have a question, for example, on Canada, right, and you're looking on how do I expand into FBA in Canada, you would literally go into your seller central side for your Canada account and type in selling in Canada from the US with FBA, and you'll get information on how to expand that way.
Excellent, excellent. Now, just to give, you know, people an idea of what this could mean for you, and everybody's accounts is different, but I have literally done no optimization. I hadn't even edited my keywords or anything to make it right. All I did last year in one of my accounts is just turn on the remote fulfillment. Let me just show you guys my Helium 10 profits window here. But in one time period in Project X, my Project X account, I did $132,000 in USA. And by never even looking at it, not even touching it at all, never having to ship something myself to Canada, I did $10,000 in Canada. So, you know, is that going to make me a millionaire by selling in Canada? Mexico did, you know, only did a couple hundred dollars, but still, that's you know what, not almost getting to 10% of my revenue by not even lifting a finger, just clicking a couple buttons to enroll. And I was able to increase my sales in this one time period by $10,000. So guys, if you haven't enrolled into this program, definitely do it. Not only are you going to be able to sell in Canada, but also Mexico. And now the newest member of the team is Amazon Brazil to really tap into that marketplace. So Jessel and Iris, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us all this knowledge about this program. I hope that all of our listeners are going to be enrolled by the end of this episode, and maybe we'll bring you back next year and see what's new with the remote fulfillment program. So thank you so much for joining us.